Let's go on now to Acts chapter 20. And we're going to be reading today in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. And this is a part of a message that Paul is giving to the elders of Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. And I want to just give you a little background on that. Now, Paul's on his third missionary journey that started back in chapter 18, verse 23. So we read those scriptures together. He started out from Antioch again, came around again to Antioch on the Mediterranean Sea, went up into Turkey, which is called Asia Minor in those days, went through Galatia and Phrygia, the two huge areas of Asia, and now he's coming down the Aegean Sea, and going to stop at a place called Miletus. And I'll do the map this way to make sure I got it right. Okay, so here's Turkey, here's Miletus. Up the river from Miletus is Ephesus. A little further up is Colossae. A little further up is Laodicea. A little further up is Hierapolis. All on that river. And so we've got him wanting to call the elders of Ephesus to himself. He was in a hurry. He was trying to make it to Jerusalem by Pentecost. He knew in his heart that he probably wouldn't see the people from Ephesus again. And you might wonder, well, why didn't he call for the elders from Colossae? Why not from Hierapolis and Laodicea? Well, the Apostle Paul spent 3 years at Ephesus. And from Ephesus, satellite churches were Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. God's Spirit moving in a big way. The whole thing got started at Ephesus. And Paul had a bonding with the church at Ephesus in such a way. He was spent 3 years of his life there, pouring out his heart to them and loving them. And he wanted so much to talk to them before he went on to Jerusalem and possible imprisonment, which did happen. And he went on to Caesarea, then Rome, and wrote letters from Rome and so forth from prison. And so he needed to talk to these guys and share his heart with them. Such a mighty work was done there at Ephesus. Let's take a look at that. Keep your hand in chapter 20 and just go back to chapter 19, verse 10. Let's turn back one page to chapter 19 of the book of Acts, verse 10. Now it says that that Paul actually continued in Ephesus for the space of 2 years. That was increased to 3 years after this part was written, as we read from chapter 20, verse 31. It says he was there actually for 3 whole years. But he continued a space of 2 years at that time, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, everybody that dwelt in Asia, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. This was a mighty outpouring. Remember when God told the Apostle Paul through the Spirit that he was forbidden to teach the word of God in Asia? Well, it must have been building. Because when he got back again after going into Europe and starting churches in Europe and came back to Asia and spent 2 years in Ephesus, everybody in Asia got to hear the word. God poured out his Spirit in Ephesus, and it became a bubbling, thriving church. And then brothers going out from Ephesus to plant churches, Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea, and others, so that the whole Asia Minor, all of Turkey, heard the word of God, as we're told here in chapter 19, verse 10. Kind of reminds me of the Calvary Chapel movement in a way. You know, Pastor Chuck, years ago, called by God to start a church in called Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. Now we've got all these baby Calvaries all over the world, actually. And we have 6 of them in Moscow. We've got Calvary Chapel Siberia, of all places. Well, they must wear a lot of thick clothes there. But, you know, now today we're going to study the book of Acts, you know. That's my granddaughter, and she's laughing at me. Praise the Lord. Oh, gosh, don't you love grandkids? They're precious. Madison, you're precious. Yes, you are. Well, so this mighty move of God, and Paul just wants to talk to those elders. So he stops in Miletus. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's in a hurry, but he says, could you bring him down? I want to talk to these guys. And so he brought him down, and Paul said many wonderful things to them, and I want to zero in today on verse 22 of Acts 20 when he's addressing them. And he says, behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I don't know what's going to happen there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. There have been prophets in cities saying, Paul, you're going to get in trouble in Jerusalem. And so, and just this ministry of the Spirit to him in all these cities, that bonds of being arrested and afflictions would abide him. But, he says in verse 24, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul is showing a tremendous amount of depth in the Lord here, and we respect him for that. And the Apostle Paul did say to us in the scriptures, follow me as I follow Jesus. And to actually be a deep Christian, we need to be able to face afflictions and whatever comes our way in the right spirit. And we see the Apostle Paul being our model here as he follows Christ, that none of these things move me. In other words, they don't matter to me. I don't even count my life dear, but I want to go on in the Lord. That's the important thing. You know, I think about how we're told in Revelation chapter 12, towards the end of the chapter, how to overcome the devil. When the devil comes in and all of his mind games he brings and all of his fiery darts he brings against us, there's three things that we do to overcome that. Number one is the blood of a lamb. And that's always number one, the blood of a lamb. Number two, the word of your testimony, to be able to just share with others what Jesus has done for you. And number three, we love not our lives unto death. If we are holding back from giving our lives to the Lord, then the devil can use that to scare us all the time. You're going to lose your life. This isn't going to be good for your little lifey. You know, and these kinds of things can scare us to death. But if we've come to that point, it says, I don't count my life dear. I count the word of God, obedience to him above that. You see, that's going to overcome Satan in your life. The blood of a lamb, the word of your testimony, and loving not your life unto death. And so we see the Apostle Paul saying, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now we want to contrast that with the person that receives the word of God on what Jesus calls stony ground. When we receive the word on stony ground, that means we have a shallow walk with the Lord. Because stones underneath the earth don't allow the roots to go very deep. And so that grain will spring up. But when the sun comes out, the afflictions of life come. When the persecutions come, then that grain dies because they have no depth of root because of the stones. And so Jesus says that when the word of God falls on stony ground, it's like when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. And immediately, those that receive that word of God on shallow ground, they are offended. They're offended. And that actually happened to me once. I worked in an auto parts store years ago, and the owner of the store gave me permission to witness. And I gave a little red Bible to somebody once, and they were just really bent and yelled at me really loud and put me down for 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, I was offended. I truly was. Even though I had permission to be a light for the Lord in that store, I was no light. I was offended. I didn't want to do that again. And the Lord began to speak to my heart and give me these messages that we're looking at today about how we needed to go forward and not be offended, not to be a shallow Christian, but to face afflictions and persecutions in the light of the gospel and to go forward, to go forward. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And so the Apostle Paul is there, and he's showing us the depth of his heart when he says that none of these things move me. They just don't move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now, at this point then, We want to go ahead and look at what was in the Apostle Paul's life, his blessing and his way of implementing his ability to not be moved by these things. That's going to help us to get there. I don't want to be a shallow Christian, do you? I'd rather be a Christian that's deep, having my roots deep in the Lord. And I think Kevin and the guys sing a song, Take Me Deep, and I don't know how it goes, but something about deep. I just want to be deep in the Lord. I just want to be deep in the Lord and not shallow. And so let's take a look at a couple of things about the Apostle Paul that he focuses on in his life to help him with this. And it's going to help us. And so it says in verse 24, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Number one, so that I might finish my course with joy. Now, each one of us has a course. Now, he's referring actually to a race. And other places in the Bible, he does that. You know, it's like running a race, and you want to run to win. And he's on his course. He sees his life as a race course. And it's a long-distance race, it is. If you sprint, you're in trouble. I mean, you just get out there and just totally just do everything you you can and actually add things that the Lord hasn't added. You're going to burn out. You know, that's it for that. The monkey jumps on your back. But it's a long distance race, and we pace ourselves in the Lord. We want to go just as fast as he wants us to go. He'll never tempt us, allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, but with every temptation, provide a way of escape. He gives us and blesses us with a certain amount of strength, and he understands that some people are stronger than others. And so he just gives us this pace to just be in a long distance race, run to win, to finish your course. So the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, I want to finish that course, that I might finish my course with joy. Now, some of the modern translations don't include the joy there, but the Greek, the original Greek language really does. So we want to include that, and I think it's really important. The Greek word is chara, C-H-A-R-A, which as you look it up in the Greek means calm delight, gladness, joy. Of course, we know from Psalm 100, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness. Lord, it is a privilege to serve you. That's the deep Christian's attitude. And we want to get to a place of finishing our course, being swept along through this life with calm delight. Hallelujah, Lord. We've been through a lot together. And I'm getting closer to the time that I'm going to see you face to face. And Lord, it's so good to have a calm delight about it all, to finish my course with joy, with calm delight, with gladness, joy in my heart. This is a goal. This is a goal that Paul focused on. He had to focus on that, to finish his course with delight and gladness. And so this was something that kept him in the race. Now let's take a look at 2 Timothy 4:6. This kind of enlarges upon this thought in the Apostle Paul's life. And so we're turning to 2 Timothy 4:6. Paul does come to that time. This is the last chapter he ever wrote in his life. In the Bible, this is the last book, the book of 2 Timothy. He comes now to that time. He's in prison in Rome. He's about ready to be martyred for his faith and have his head cut off by Caesar Nero. And he knows it. And he knows that the Lord has spoken to him, that this is your time, Paul. And you know what he says? This is so beautiful. 2 Timothy 4:6. I am now ready. I'm ready. To me, to live as Christ and to die as gain, and he knew that. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. What a great feeling that must have been for Paul. He had finished his course. I have kept the faith. There's that calm delight. There is that gladness that he was able to finish his course well, to have fought a good fight. He's kept the faith. Paul puts it, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. That's where our fight is. It's not with flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers that would take away our faith. But we fight the good fight of faith. We believe the Lord. We trust God through the afflictions, through the persecutions. And let none of these things move us, because we're looking to finish that course with joy. That's the goal. That's where we're going. And this is helping Paul. This is blessing Paul. And so he is blessed. I'm ready. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And then verse 8, and Paul speaks about this, and I can't help but to think, you know, we don't get the tone in the Bible, but you can just sense that he is blessed. He's almost there. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, and I'm so glad this clause is in there, not to me only, the Apostle Paul says, but unto all them also that love his appearing. How many here love the appearing of Jesus? You're just going to love to see him. Yeah, I see all those hands. And you know what? Glory to God. That means you're going to receive a crown of righteousness, an inheritance that fades not away. And if we could catch a glimpse of that, which we do from time to time in the Spirit, we catch a glimpse of that. I'll quote verse on that. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has been imagined in the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him. But the Spirit has revealed these things to us. Even though my eye hasn't seen it, my ear hasn't heard it, or I haven't imagined about it completely, the Spirit reveals this to you. And from time to time, Lord will give you a little glimpse. Glimpse, glimpse. And you just go, yeah. And we press on. Well, the Apostle Paul got a little more than a glimpse. And I love to think about it. Remember when he was stoned to death in Lystra, left for dead. We're told later that he knew a man. This is Corinthians chapter 12. About 14 years ago, he says, and the scholars put that together 14 years ago. That was about the time that Paul was stoned to death in Lystra. And there he was laying dead. But he says this man was caught up into the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But he was caught up in the third heaven. He's caught up into the paradise of God, into the heavenlies, and saw things. He's really speaking about himself. Saw things that are not lawful to speak about. And so Paul had a glimpse. And he's come to that time to think back on that glimpse and actually being able to see things in the heavenlies that aren't even worthy to speak. I mean, it'd be unlawful to speak about. He couldn't put it down on paper. And just imagine then where he's at with that. He said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm being an argument between two things. I want to go and see Jesus, and I want to stay here and minister to you. And so you knew that he was looking forward, loving the appearing of the Lord, and he's coming right up on it. And that is his focus, to see the face of the Lord. You know, I think about that experience that he had of being dead and then coming back. We'll just make the pulpit the line between heaven and earth, and underneath the pulpit where I'm going now by, I'm going to the earth. Paul's on the earth, right? And so then he dies with the stones and all, and he's brought up into the third heaven. And I imagine him, you know, just going, so beautiful, Lord. Oh, wait, where am I going? Hey, I don't want to go back. The disciples were all gathered around him. Remember, we read the story. And he gets up. And that energized him so much and pumped him up so much in the Lord that the next day he started walking 60 miles to the next city to preach the gospel, to Derby. 60 miles. And he started... said, well, guys, it's been great being dead, now I'm going. He was like the ever-ready bunny in the Lord, really. He never stopped. The Apostle Paul never stopped. He just kept going, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our work is not in vain. Never grow weary in well-doing. We keep going and keep it up and keep going until Jesus comes. These things don't move me. because, as he ministers so deeply about it, that his focus is on that calm delight, that gladness of serving God and serving God faithfully until the end. Blessed be the name of the Lord who gives him the victory and gives us the victory in this endeavor. Now let's go on back then to Acts chapter 20, and look at the second thing here before we take communion. Acts chapter 20. And so he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, to receive a ministry from Jesus is no small thing. Even though a ministry in our eyes or human eyes might seem like a small thing. Well, you know, I've just been asked to fold the bulletins, or something that might seem small to in human eyes, you know, behind the scenes type thing. It's huge to God. It's huge to him. Because the way he looks on your ministry, he looks at it as obedience to him, not in exactly what it is or how it compares to someone else. I just need to be obedient to what God's called me to. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a rich landholder that went away to a far country and left every man and woman his work. So all of us will have a touch from God in a ministry for the Lord. And so this second part of what we look at is actually separate from the course of Paul's life, because the course of Paul's life includes everything. All the persecutions and afflictions that might come his way. Very possibly Paul had a wife leave him. He was part of the Sanhedrin when he became a Christian. You had to be married to be part of the Sanhedrin. Either his wife passed away or his wife could have left him, because she said, what's this Christian stuff? I'm out of here. I'm as Jewish as they get. And you're part of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jewish community, and you're high up in the Jewish authority, and you're leaving it for somebody named Jesus? That could have happened. And some scholars believe that his wife walked out on him. That's part of his affliction in the course of his life. And many things happen to us. Afflictions come in all sizes and shapes through the course of a life. You never know what's going to happen. But separate from that is your ministry. The ministry I received from the Lord, so important to God. And so Paul's second focus is on what he can do for other people. And you know, it can be so many different things. There's gifts of the Spirit listed in different parts of the Bible, but there's so many more gifts of the Spirit that aren't even named. That God just brings into different lives. We're all like snowflakes. We're all different. Into our lives. I remember this one brother that had the ministry of prayer. He was 92 years old when we went to see him. Alan Sartorius and I, an elder in the church at that time, we said, you know, we heard about this brother. And I can't remember his name right now, but he's on with the Lord now. But he was 92 at the time. I was a young man. I was about 30 years old, and church was just getting started. And this man was teaching in the Calvary Chapel ministry schools around the area. And so Alan and I had a chance to go see him in his house. So we went over there. It was a convalescent type situation. His wife was 86, and she was in the rocking chair there, and he was sitting on the couch. And so Alan and I sat down, and I'll never forget it. I just folded my hands. I felt like I was in the presence of a great warrior of God, which we were. And Alan's got his head looking at him, and I've got my head looking at him, and he just starts to open his heart and share with us about his ministry. He says, you know, every day at 2:30, I go and kiss my wife in the rocking chair there, and I go into my bedroom and I start praying, seeking God. And I pray right up until dinner time. And he said, and I'm praying for Calvary Chapel Anaheim. And I got so excited about that. pray on, you know. And that was when the church was younger, and God, what God has done through the years, it's so wonderful what God has done. And And I just know that those prayers were so important. That's a ministry. That's a powerful ministry. And that man spent his whole life in the ministry of prayer and in teaching others about prayer and the strength of prayer and the depth of prayer. He was doing what he had received from the Lord. And so our ministries will be different and unique and precious to God. And it's so important to focus on finishing that ministry. We don't want to step back from it, shrink back from it. There's many ways we can do that. We can get scared. We can get lazy. We can start thinking along the lines of, you know, the Lord delays his coming. Boy, that's a biblical thing not to do. Because the Lord says, the wicked servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. And he begins to eat and drink with the drunken and to beat his fellow servants. And that can happen to folks where they go, you know what? Jesus isn't really coming back. And so, you know, I think I'll just tie one on and get with the guys. And you know, and then because of the guilt, they begin to backbite churches and they begin to backbite other Christians. And the Lord, you know, just really puts that down. He says, watch out. You know, your Lord's going to come in a time you think not. And there'd be some real problems going on there. So the thing is to remember to not grow weary in the well-doing and to be looking and loving his appearing. This is what Paul was doing. This is what Paul had the strength and the energy to become deep in the Lord and to get away from the shallow Christian living. We need to be rooted and grounded in love, and that the love of God might abound in us more and more. And we move on to the deep living in the Lord, to remember that ministry. There's a couple of exhortation scriptures on that I want to share with you, and then we're going to take communion. So let's take a look at Colossians 4:17. Colossae is just right up the river from Ephesus. And so we want to look at Colossians 4:17. Paul always mentions people by name in his letters, and I love that. I love the genealogies in the Bible. That shows me how much God cares about me, Mark, and how much he cares about you. Because the names in the Bible are important to God, important enough to put in the Holy Scriptures. And there was a man at Colossae that had gotten away from his ministry. And the Apostle Paul is wanting to exhort him. And so he says in verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed, be careful, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it, that you fulfill it. So very important. Yes, there's going to be afflictions. Yes, there will be persecutions. But none of these things will move you. Because you want to run your course with joy and finish your course with joy and finish the ministry that you have received by the grace of God you've received from Jesus himself on this earth. And as we love Jesus and we just love the Lord, we want to do it all and finish it all. Lord, let it be so. And it's a marvelous thing, and it's a great place to have your focus. It's where the Apostle Paul's focus was, and this is why these things did not move him. And it's precious and beautiful. And so Archippus was struggling with that, and so he needed a little exhortation. Be careful, take heed to the ministry which you have received and the Lord, that you fulfill it. One more scripture on that, and let's go to Revelation 3:11. Now, from verses 7 through 13 in Revelation 3 is to a write-on church. It's called the Church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly love. That's why Philadelphia is called Philadelphia in our nation. It's a city of brotherly love. And man, I don't know why it is, but you know, a lot of times I'll just picture one of those hot dogs at a stadium, you know, at one of the stadiums that's been cooking since last February or whatever. And just a blessing. So when I think of Philadelphia, I think of the Phillies, you know, and think of hot dogs with lots of mustard and relish. But it's a city of brotherly love, and I know that they have trouble with that, just like every city, but this is the Church of Philadelphia, and God is writing to this church. It's the write-on church, because it's filled with the love of God, and may we abound in the love of God more and more. And he says many wonderful things to this church. But in verse 11, he gives them a warning. And he says, I come quickly, I come quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no man take your crown. Now, we don't serve the Lord for the crown. We serve him because we love him. He's done so much for us. We love the Lord because he first loved us. The cross, oh, the cross, we thank you for the cost. And so we love him. We want to serve him. We want to please him. But the crown is involved, as Paul said. I'm going to receive now a crown of righteousness, as he goes on. But here there's a warning to be careful, to hold fast to what God has given you, the ministry received from the Lord Jesus, lest any man take your crown. God will get his work done. And if I refuse to do my part, God will find somebody else. And a lot of times, it's the guy that's already doing about three crowns worth. Some people just work so hard for the Lord, and others do nothing. And so we want to not shrink back from that, but to go ahead and fulfill our full potential in the Lord and to experience the abundant living in Christ. Yes, with afflictions. Yes, with persecutions. But these things don't move us as deep Christians. Yea, we don't even, at times when our lives might be even threatened, count our lives dear, or go ahead to find our lives and then lose our lives. If we're bent on finding our lives and making my life better, and I'm number one, those kinds of thinkings, no. But we look to the Lord, and we do not count our lives dear, and we just say, Lord, I want to finish my course with calm delight. Did I share that testimony about that lady we visited in the hospital? I don't think I did. Sherry and I visited a lady in the hospital a while back. She was dying of cancer. She had about a week to live. It was terminal cancer. And we were nervous about going because, you know, we didn't want to say anything wrong or whatever. You know how those things go. We got over there and, man, she was beaming. She was just a light beam of the love of Jesus. Now, she had no pain, and some folks have to face some pain, especially towards the end, but this lady didn't have the pain, and she was just glowing. And she said, all of my kids are saved, and all of my grandkids are saved. What more could I ask for? I'm ready to go. And just her countenance and her assurance, speaking of what we've been studying about the Apostle Paul, it was there the calm delight, the gladness in the Lord for a good race. And it blessed Sherry and I so much, blessed us so deeply to visit with her, and we were so encouraged. And that is something that is priceless, absolutely priceless, as we take our walk through this life. So our focus being on the Lord, his race that he's asked us to run, his ministry that he's graciously given us, and to just stay right there with him, moving towards that place in heaven. Glory be to God. The secret of the deep living of the Apostle Paul, I thank God so much for him. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll take communion. Father, thank you so very much, Lord God, for the Apostle Paul. It just seems, Lord, I appreciate him more and more and more and more. He truly was a great example as one of our elders in the Bible. And Lord, thank you that he did say, follow me as I follow Christ. And Lord, as we study and look at the book of Acts and seek to be doers of the word and not hearers only, actually doing the book of Acts, Lord, we just want to learn, Lord. We just want to get deeper. Just want to get the roots down further to be rooted and grounded in your love, Lord. And so we thank you for that, Lord, and we are looking forward to your appearing. And Lord, we know that that will be just the most tremendous, happy day happy day, happy day. And Lord, thank you, Father, for the glimpses in the Spirit that you give of the future that we have in you. Lord, that we might be enlightened in our spiritual eyes of the hope of our calling. We thank you for that, Lord. So, Father, continue to just lead us, Lord, by your most Holy Spirit. We thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And why don't we just go ahead and take a time of silence before we take communion? That if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, or you've walked away from him as a Christian, you need to get back to your ministry. You get to get back to what God has touched you with to use for him. And we can just have a time of silence, do some business with the Lord. Talk to him, ask him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your life, to heal you, to bless you, to touch you. And he will do that. To ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Lord give the Holy Spirit, the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so let's just have a time of silence, and you can be very personal with your Savior right now. Ask him for help. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you so much for seeing our hearts, for man looks on the outward appearance, but you look on the heart. That's where you look. Thank you, Lord. And your shed blood bringing spiritual vibrancy and healing, Lord, to raise us up, Father, and to raise us up on the last day. And so we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This time we'll have the men come forward, and we're going to take communion together. Yes, just like to remind you again of the healing that Jesus brings from his broken body. And just encourage you that if you're here today and you have a physical ailment of some kind or you're suffering in some way, that you might just look to the Lord during the time of communion as you remember him and his broken body for you, that by his stripes we are healed. So let's pray for the bread. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the bread. Thank you, Lord, that you did bless the bread when you broke it at the Last Supper. Lord, we pray, bless this bread. Bless your people, God, and help us to look to you and remember you, Lord, at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. In the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And this we do in remembrance of him, to show the Lord's death until he comes. In Jesus' name.
For the cup.
Father, we thank you for this juice here, Lord, that represents your blood for this communion, Lord. We thank you for what you did at the cross. Lord, you changed our life from death to life. Lord God, we thank you for giving that to us. We thank you, Lord, that you took the punishment that we deserve. And we just ask you to just bless us today. Just pour out on top of us. Make us white as snow, Lord. And we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you and praise for what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand together to take the cup. Now, I want to just go ahead and remind us of the three things that we can overcome the enemy with. And that is, number one is the blood of the Lamb. Number two is the word of your testimony, and number three is loving not your life unto death. But what's number one? The blood of the Lamb. And number one is always number one. Number one is never number two. Number one is number one, and number one is the blood of the Lamb. And we take the blood of Jesus, and we receive Him, and receive that cleansing flood, and you are clean. And we can just rejoice in that. It's not of works, lest any man should boast that we're saved. It's by the grace of God through faith in Christ, in Christ. And so we take the cup in faith to receive the cleansing flood of His blood in Jesus' name. If you would desire prayer for anything today, remember the prayer room is always open for you, and we have New Believers Bibles in there, and also regular Bibles that have the cellophane on them and stuff, so you can have your pick, whatever you need. And may the Lord bless you today. God just continue to lead you and encourage you in your faith in Christ, letting you know continually, as He will by the Holy Spirit, that your walk is not in vain. Your work is not in vain in the Lord. He sees, He's blessed, and He is wonderfully, wonderfully happy and pleased with those that just go ahead and focus on Him. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.